Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we drop a new episode to help strengthen unity in the body of Christ. We want you to be part of the conversation, so make sure you comment, like, share, and follow. I'm your host, Preach. We got a great conversation for you today. Let's get into it. All right, guys, I want to share with you really quick. This is a simple concept, but this is something that if we can go back to time and time again, it's really going to help us in our relationships. All right. If you want a trick to knowing how to have self-control, this is something that many of us struggle with, and knowing how to maintain self-control in situations. Maybe you have a temper issue. Maybe you're like, man, I really need to stop eating these donuts, but I can't control myself. Maybe you're hoping that you can just maintain more self-control in certain areas of your life. Maybe when it's a discipline like working out, maybe it's a discipline as far as how you're interacting with people. Maybe you're in your life right now and you're thinking, man, I'm really struggling with being gentle with this person or that person. Parents, hear me. Parents, I know sometimes we struggle with being gentle with our kids, right? We can get real stern real fast because it seems like everything is just kind of built up and layered up and layered up and layered up. But if you want to turn a new leaf and you want to know how to do this, I got a trick for you, all right? And this is something that I think we can come back to time and time again. And as we walk through this, I want to relate this to guess what? I want to relate this to how we can work in unity together within the body of Christ. All right. Because this is really important. You can walk through this in any kind of relationship. You can walk through this in your personal life and how you're handling things. But I want us to, as we walk through this with the lens of, okay, when it comes to working in unity and acting in unity with one another, how does this work out? So I want to share something with you that I came up with. This is all my own. I'm going to copyright it. I call this the fruit of the spirit. All right. I know somebody tried to say they wrote this a long time ago, but this was mine. This is mine. All right. It's called the fruit of the spirit. And what's something that's so interesting about this, you can find this in Galatians. All right. If you go to Galatians, he walks through the fruit of the spirit. If you type that in on Google, it'll find it for you. I'm telling you, Google was made so that you can find scripture references. That's the reason. All right. And I don't know if Google knows that, but Google, you need to make sure you're investing heavily into this, because this is why you exist. All right. Google is there for you to find scripture references. Sometimes we have a hard time, like we'll remember a phrase and we're like, oh, but where is that? Or how did that end? Start typing in Google. Boom. All right. That's what it's there for. So looking at the fruit of the spirit in Galatians, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, looking at those different things. These are issues that we'll struggle with a lot of times. And I just want to show you this one quick thought that will really help us to practice these things more. First and foremost, it starts with love. Before I say that, I'm just going to tell you where I'm going. All right. Here's the big reveal. I'm not going to wait until the end, but here's the big reveal. All right. But you want to hear me as I walk through this, but this is the big reveal. Every fruit leads into the next. Every single one. It's not just a matter of, okay, these are all fruit of the spirit. But when you read this, we're going to walk through and you're going to see how every single one leads right into the next one, right? It's like love is the seed that brings joy, and joy is the seed that brings peace. Watch, we're going to walk through this, all right? So we have love is where it starts. That has to be the foundation. God is love, right? And he calls us to love him and to love one another. So this is where we start. We start with a choice, a commitment to love, All right. We choose to love. And when we see this, something that we get ourselves tripped up on is that we feel like, oh, but love means I got this warm, fuzzy feeling that, you know, I just can't contain. That's not love. All right. That's not what love is. Love, agape love, the love, the charity that we see within scripture. It's not about some warm, fuzzy feeling that you can't contain. This is choosing to love. This is deciding, choosing to and resolving to commit with affection, to commit with your heart, with your mind, to love in action, all right? And so you start with love. This is where unity has to start, all right? If we start from a place of, oh, well, I'm doing this because it's what's advantageous for me, I'm doing this because of what I'm getting from it, then you're willing to break away from that when you feel like you're not getting what you want. And look, I know, again, we're talking about unity, but look, unity is marriage. Unity is our relationships with our family. Unity is our relationships with our friends. Unity is how we work together and are united in the body of Christ. Unity is your relationship with God, right? If you are choosing to love beyond how it makes you feel and beyond what you get from it, the type of love that God gives to us, if we choose to walk in that love, which he calls us to, then we have a good, firm foundation. We have a place to move into joy. Why? Because when you love, then you find joy in what other people are receiving. You find joy in their happiness. And guess what? You're going to find joy when in their smiles when you're loving on them. You're going to find joy when they accomplish and they do good things. You're going to find joy. And you think about this in a matter of unity. When you love, this is one of those big hurdles we tend to face because we get caught in this competition mode, and it's hard for us to really love and rejoice and to have joy over other members' victories, other body members' victory, other churches' victories, right? Other ministries, other ministers, other believers. We sometimes have to stir ourselves to be happy because we're over here thinking about ourselves and what we're not getting. But when you love that person, joy is going to come when they have victory, when they overcome, when they're seeing good things, when they are receiving, when they're smiling because you're loving on them. You're going to have joy. You're going to get joy from loving them. So you start with love and then you move to joy. If we love one another, then we will find joy in working in unity. We will find joy in walking in unity and having unity in relationship with one another. And then from that joy, we get peace. And this is big. I feel like peace is a threshold. Look, you start with love. The gaps are intentional here, guys, people. So notice there's a bigger gap between love and joy. And there is a gap between joy and peace. It's a little smaller, but it's still significant, right? And then you'll notice, if I scroll up, you're going to notice that next gap isn't as big because we go from joy and then we have peace. We get peace, guys. When we have joy and we're rejoicing over what's happening, we find greater peace. I tell this to my daughter often. And this is something that we can all hold on to. Yes, even us adults. If we can have joy over what we do have, then we won't be so anxious and worried and upset over about what we don't have. Joy. If you have joy, if you're giving thanks, if you are being thankful and rejoicing, that worry, that anxiety, that those concerns, that's going to go away. That's going to fall by the wayside. It's going to be overcome by the joy that you're living in. And so you go from joy to peace. People who are more thankful, people who are rejoicing, they have greater peace. And when you have this peace, oh man, this peace in relationship with one another. You find peace in this unity that you're sharing. It's so much easier to walk in that. Sometimes one of the reasons we don't walk in unity is because we're anxious about it. We're worried about it. We're concerned about all the ifs, ands, and buts and what can go wrong. And we're not rejoicing and finding joy in the relationship because we're not in a walking from a place of love. But if you start with love and you go to joy, you're going to find peace. And in this peace, when you have peace, you guys, this is big. When you have peace, you'll have patience. You will find patience when you have peace. One of the reasons we run short on patience with one another, we run short on being patient and taking time with one another and not looking for the quick results and being patient with the people we're leading, being patient with the people leading us, being patient with the ministries we're trying to partner with that are going at a slower pace than what we want to go. We are lacking peace. And so we can't have patience. But if we have that peace, then we will have patience. You think about it, every time that we find ourselves being impatient, it's because we're working from this place of feeling like it needs to happen. Something needs to happen quicker, right? But peace is that Jesus pace. Jesus moved at 2-3 miles an hour. He wasn't driving around at 60 and 80. He was walking. He was taking his time. Jesus was never in a hurry, guys. He was at peace. And so he had patience, and he has patience with us. And what's amazing about it is we take so much longer than what we should, and then we want to be impatient with him. But he can be patient with us because he is the Prince of Peace. He has this peace, which comes from joy, which comes from his love for us. And so he's working from patience. Parents, hear me on this. Patience leads to kindness. Family, friends, brothers, sisters, our way of communicating, the way that we communicate and take care of one another and treat one another, if we can be patient, we're going to have so much more kindness towards one another. We're going to be so kind to one another, because often us being unkind, us being rude, us speaking in ways that are demeaning, that comes from a place of impatience, feeling like we can't be bothered, treating others with contempt, right? Feeling like others are wasting our time and whatnot. But if we have patience, then we can be more kind. Going from that place of kindness, we have goodness. If we can be kind, oh guys, look, kindness and goodness, they're like rubbing shoulders, all right? I should probably move this because these things are so close to one another. If we're being kind, if we can be kind to others, then we're going to act in goodness, right? We're going to have actions of goodness towards one another. Kindness is like how we are speaking with one another, and the things we're doing with one another individually even, but goodness. Now we're spreading that, right? And now it's what we're doing even in our private time, right? When it comes to how we're treating others, not in our interaction with them and where we can be kind, but then we can go back behind closed doors and be mean about it, right? Or do ill things to them, like set them up for failure. No, we're going to go from kindness to goodness, right? Because that kindness is going to continue to flow and spread. And so that even when they're out of sight, right, we're still trying to do right by them and be kind to them in our actions and what we do and what we say. And it goes into this goodness, and we start behaving in a manner of goodness, not only to individuals who are near, but to people and society as a whole. We're doing good, right? Because we're acting from kindness, which we found because we were being patient, because we had peace, because we had joy, because we started with love, all right? And from that goodness, you have faithfulness. Faithfulness is that consistent, ongoing goodness, right? It's like you have goodness and then you're faithful. You continue to be faithful. You persevere in your goodness. You're faithful to the word. You're faithful in being good and being kind and all these different things. You're walking that out. No matter what comes, you have this practice, right? You've made it a habit. You are faithful. You're someone who is not going to be deterred from being good and kind and patient and having peace and joy and love. You're going to be faithful. And in that, from there, we get gentleness. When we're doing well with all those things, right? Then we get to a place of we can be gentle. We're being gentle with one another because we have goodness and kindness that are consistent and ongoing. And so because of that, we have gentleness. We have this kindness, goodness, gentleness. It's so hard to be gentle if you can't be patient. It's so hard to be kind and good and faithful if you can't be patient, right? But if you have that patience, then you can end up being kind and good and faithful. And now you're gentle. Now you can interact in gentleness with others. And then lastly, guys, again, looking at this, like I have to emphasize that peace, that patience and working with others, that goodness and working with others, that kindness and how we are talking about each other and relating, being faithful in ministry partnership with one another, and that unity, that gentleness. You guys, gentleness is big. Because gentleness also, it almost implies that we are going to be addressing things, that we're going to have this accountability and address difficult situations with one another, but we're going to do it in a kind way because we've been practicing that faithfulness, that kindness, that goodness, that patience and peace, that joy with one another. Because we have all of that, we can address difficult topics and difficult things. We can talk about our differences and come at how are we going to go about these things and work and be in unity when we're not seeing eye to eye. We can do all of that in a gentle manner because we've been practicing these things. Lastly, from gentleness comes the big one, the one that comes at the end. This is one of the hardest ones. Why? I feel like it's the last one to develop. It's like you have to go through all of this to finally get to a place where you can consistently and ongoingly have self-control. Sometimes our self-control, our issue with self-control is literally a lacking of gentleness or faithfulness or goodness or kindness or patience or peace. Like usually a lot of times when we're struggling with self-control, it's because we're already losing those other things. But if we have all of those in place, now we're getting to this place of where you can lead yourself. You can have self-control. You can really practice what you preach. Self-control. Here it is. It comes from gentleness, from faithfulness, goodness, kindness, patience, peace, joy, starting from this place of love. And this is big, guys, because as we go all the way through this and we're talking about, look, this is in relationship with others. This is in practicing unity. This is also in relationship with yourself. It's going to be hard to have self-control over some things that you may be struggling with privately, if you don't love yourself, if you don't start from a place of having love for yourself and love for God. And this isn't one of those, look, just love yourself, you do you. Like, it's not one of those self-promoting type of deals, all right? But scripture is clear. There is a divine balance to this. You're to love your neighbor as yourself. And how are you going to love your neighbor if you don't love yourself? If you love your neighbor, some of us, loving our neighbor as ourselves would be the worst thing that we can do to them because we don't love ourselves. Scripture intends you to have a healthy love and respect for yourself. Because you're made in the image of God, because God loves you. How are you going to look down and spit upon something that and treat with contempt and hate what God sent his son to die for? You. What Jesus loved so much and said and came to earth for you. Right? And went through what he went through for. The one that God calls their son, their daughter. Don't do that. So I just had to throw that out there. That wasn't part of the plan, but you start from this place of love, whether we're talking about ourselves, whether we're talking about in relationship with God, whether we're talking about in relationship with others. And most assuredly, as we're talking about unity within the body of Christ, it has to start from that place of love. And now we get to work in to being joyful in our unity, to having this peace in our unity, patience in our unity, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We need these things as we're talking about working in unity and in relationship with one another. We need the fruit of the Spirit. And so I wanted to share this thought and just this concept of, look, as you're thinking about where am I struggling in this? What fruit of the Spirit am I lacking? I want you to track back. Okay, if I'm struggling with patience, well, am I at peace? If I'm struggling with self-control, well, I mean, have I gotten to a place where I'm being gentle? If I'm struggling with being kind, right? Well, how am I doing in these other things? How is my joy, my patience, my peace? This is something to hold on to, like I said, for life, all right? And for all your different relationships. But think about this also, again, as we always talk about here on the In Hope podcast, we are trying to strengthen unity in the body of Christ. And you can't jump into unity and start practicing unity in a healthy, godly way without the fruit of the Spirit. And it has to start with love. So let's be intentional about saying we are going to love on one another. We're going to love on this other ministry. We're going to love on this other church. We're going to love on our brothers and our sisters. Even if we can't do it all. We can't be, you know, at every practice and recital and all these different things, right? We're going to love the best that we can. And we're going to have love, brotherly love and affection for one another. And we're going to commit to loving each other in deed and in truth. All right. And remember, as we do these things, not only are we loving one another, but when you love his body, you love him. As you love the body of Christ, as you do unto the least of these, unto my brothers and my sisters, you do so unto me, is what Jesus says. And in 1 John chapter 4, he really emphasizes this fact of, look, if anyone says they love God, but they do not love their brother, he is a liar. Because you can't not love your brother whom you can see and then love God whom you can't see. So let's make sure. Oh, And that gets into a whole thing. You guys know how I feel. You know how I feel. We be getting into it. God looks at his body as himself. So the church, the body of Christ. So if you want to love him, we need to love one another. All right. That wanted to give that to you guys real quick and hold on to that. Went a little longer than I was expecting, but y'all should be used to that. I'm so glad that we got to just go over that. You guys will hear me reference that from time to time. All right. But love you guys. Let's hold this in prayer. And I want you guys just to start a good quick takeaway. Start with this aspect of love and focus on that concept for the next week or so, right? Focus on that and then say, okay, now from there, these people that I've been focusing on loving, can I move into a place of rejoicing for them, rejoicing in what's happening in their life, right? And that's going to possibly cause you to have to like connect, right? It's hard to love somebody you don't connect with at all. Hard to rejoice for them if you're not connecting with them at all. So, and then just kind of work your way through that line. All right. Especially if you're looking at partnering, doing things in collaboration with other ministries. I mean, reach out, be like, hey, how can we love you? What can we do? How can we serve you? How can we love you? And then rejoice, find rejoicing in that relationship and being able to serve them and be a blessing to them. Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the fruit of the Spirit. The fact that these aren't things that, you know, we just stir and muster up and we just, you know, grit teeth and make happen. No, Father, we can plant, we can water, but you give the growth. And it is the fruit of your Spirit. So we ask for you, Holy Spirit, to be in us and around us and over us and going before us and behind us and in abundance. Help us, Father, to walk in your Spirit and to grow in the fruit of your Spirit as we endeavor to walk in unity with you, with your body, and with those you've placed us in loving relationship with. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. Look forward to seeing you guys next week. Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow. Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope podcast.